Welcome to Realcast, the weekly roundup of the real asset markets. I'm joined by Paul Strome, Nicole Dines, and Courtney Finger. And of course, over the past 7 days, we've seen interest rate rises both in the US and also in Europe with the ECB, and a sort of 95% chance of a rate rise being viewed in the UK as well from the Bank of England. So interesting to see how those rates will begin to influence the market going forward. Courtney, you've been on your travels, so I guess what have you picked up over the last week?
Well, last week I was in beautiful Montenegro for a Western Balkans ESG summit, and it was extremely interesting, mainly because that was the first summit of its kind in that region. And there was huge interest. I think more than 400 participants. It seemed the whole government of Montenegro was there, the president-elect, the prime minister, high-level representatives from around the region, from banks, asset managers, industrial groups. Everyone was there pretty much on the edge of their seats trying to learn more about how to put ESG into practice. So I thought that was extremely interesting. There was an acknowledgement that the region is maybe a little bit, you know, further behind Western Europe and other places in terms of embracing ESG, but there seemed to be a bit of a switch, or at least an awareness that that it's quite an essential concept and a big desire to learn more about how to do it.
I think that's been interesting. I also noticed as well Clio Folks joining Social Value Portal. So some changes there, and it'll be interesting to pick up with Clio what her views are as soon as she's in place there. Nicole, you've also been tracking some ESG stories.
Yes, there seemed to be a lot happening. In France, construction workers started on the world's first fully recycled concrete building. It's Holcim, a Swiss company that's been working for quite a while on new sort of technology solutions. They joined forces with Seconds, which is a French social housing provider, to build Recigny, which is a 220-unit housing complex on the outskirts of Paris. But what's interesting is, apart from this sort of first building, is that Holcim plans to use this new concrete, which is made entirely with recycled materials. Even the water, the cement, the aggregates, and the water are all recycled. And it's called EcoCycle. It's something they developed, and they're planning to use it in all their projects from now on worldwide. So that should already, this just one building is in France, which is being built, is saving over 6,000 tons of natural resources, which otherwise would have been used. So it sounds like a pretty groundbreaking, but also, you know, significant development, technological development. And in the UK, the UK Green Building Council has created what it called the Embodied Carbon Task Group. It's mobilized 70 industry experts, developers, suppliers, academics, engineers, to sort of overcome the challenge, which is very much, you know, felt at the moment, of this very limited, accurate, and consistent measurement and also reporting of embodied carbon at such a critical time for the net zero target, which is, you know, delivering net zero, which is coming up fast. At the moment in the UK, embodied carbon is completely unregulated. So they're trying to work out a framework in order to come up with guidelines and hopefully speed things along. And while as Courtney was saying, things are happening in sort of to the east of Europe, and a lot is happening in Western Europe, as we know. Well, if we go further west in the US, things seem to be going backwards, you know, while companies keep investing in ESG and funds and banks keep investing in Article 8 and Article 9. I think it's quite sad and significant that in Florida, Ron DeSantis, who's the governor of Florida and is also a very likely Republican candidate for the presidency, he's signed into law a bill that not only bars all state officials from using state money to invest in any ESG products at all, it's also actually prohibited ESG bond sales in Florida. So ESG bonds, as we know, are a very popular way of funding renewable energy projects. So there's a big question mark now, what's going to happen? Are there going to be no projects of any kind done in Florida with nothing being implemented? How will this bill actually be implemented? Will there be, you know, criticism? Will other states follow suit? Because obviously we know that that's in all Republican states, there's a lot of criticism of ESG in general. So anyway, the US, as we know, still lacks a comprehensive climate legislation, despite the IRA, which sort of tinkers around the edges. So it'd be very interesting to see how things develop and whether we go backwards in the US as it seems to be in Florida, or whether there's any progress.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the changes between the US and Europe at the moment. You know, particularly also the banking crisis still there hitting the news with Pacific Western. So there's a lot of changes there happening. And also I noticed as well, Shopify selling off their logistics arm to Flexport and laying off 20% of the workforce. So you're beginning to see quite different trends there in the US to Europe. Paul, what have you been tracking?
Well, first off, Vonovia, Germany's largest real estate group, is in the news again, this time having sold a 1,350 unit residential portfolio to CBRE Investment Management for around 560 million euros. The portfolio comprises five buildings, all newly built, due to be completed in the next few months. Two buildings are in Berlin, two in Munich, and one in Frankfurt. News of the deal came very soon after Vonovia announced what was the largest residential deal in Germany for some time, with the sale of a minority stake in its Sodewe portfolio to private equity firm Apollo Global Management for 1 billion euros. Of the latest deal, Vonovia CEO Rolf Buchs said it underlines the intrinsic value of the portfolio. The two deals obviously amount to more than 1.5 billion, which he said means that the company has almost achieved its sales target for the year. Which he said is also a positive signal for the entire business. And after a very difficult first quarter with little movement, the market's cautiously opening and buyers and sellers are agreeing on prices again, which is, he says, is cause for optimism. Back to ESG slightly. Alternative investment manager Azora Capital is establishing a new private equity fund to invest 250 million euros of equity in European companies providing solutions for decarbonizing property assets. Azora has applied to the Spanish regulator to register what is an Article 9 fund, Azora European Climate Solutions Fund, which will provide growth capital for low-mid market businesses generating up to 10 million euros in EBITDA. There are three main themes: urban solutions, energy solutions, sustainable agriculture. And Azora expects to invest in 10 to 12 companies, investing 10 to 40 million euros apiece. Azora has made two investments already. One is a stake in a Spanish company that's developed a sustainable almond farming practice. And it's also invested in London-based carbon procurement markets intelligence technology company Abatable, which helps businesses connect with carbon project developers to offset their carbon emissions. We've spoken about that on Realcast before. Lastly, for me, British Land is to develop a logistics hub in London that is being built as an ultra low carbon, while allowing for inbound access by HGVs. Deliveries from the scheme will be made by means of smaller electric vehicles and electric cargo bikes. British Land's got planning approval for an 11,000 square metre project, which is near Paddington Station in central London. The company said in a statement that it plans to repurpose what is a former Crossrail works beneath the Paddington Central. And the project will remove about 100 large vans from Westminster's roads every day, reducing carbon emissions there by about 90%. It's interesting also because it's reminiscent of Segro's scheme in Paris at Le Gobelin, where it too is using a subterranean space beneath the railway station in the centre of the city to create a logistics hub that focuses on distribution by electric vehicles and cargo bikes. That one's 75,000 square metres, and that will be completed in 2025, Richard.
Interesting to see that. We've obviously talked a lot about, you know, both in the events, but also here on Realcast about, you know, the limited amount of transactions. And it's good to see some transactions beginning to come back into the news lines. But that reflected as well in JLL posting a 9 million quarterly loss and highlighting, you know, the transaction activity was dropping, but expecting that to recover. And that seems to be a kind of positive take that a lot of people in the industry are looking forward to, is that transaction volume beginning to come back again later on in the year, certainly after the summer. Thanks very much, Paul. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Courtney. Thank you for joining us. And look forward to seeing you next week for our regular roundup of the real asset markets.